from the studios of WGCL Radio, downtown Bloomington, on a lovely late summer's Monday, the In the Zone Radio program. With me, Mike Glascott, and riding along shotgun today is our good friend Terry Stoltz. Terry, good afternoon. How are you?
Michael, great. Glad to be here in the palatial estates of WGCL.
Penthouse living, baby.
Up here on the
top shelf. A beautiful day to watch the IU victory flag fly over Memorial Stadium. The Hoosiers, big winners on the weekend, 30-20 over in-state, I would guess, rival. Heck, Ball State beat them the last three times they played. That counts. Rivals Ball State. Indiana taking care of business to move to 2-0 on the season, so plenty to do on the Hoosiers tonight. We've got a quick show for you, though, so we're going to only have two segments tonight. We'll be out of your hair at 6:30 because Westwood One's coverage of the Monday Night Football doubleheader. They've been doing this now for the last, six, 7 years, and since we've picked up football about, 4 or 5 years ago, we give you both games on Monday night. The NFL season is off and running. The Colts were one of the most exciting games of the weekend. The result didn't fall their way. Boy, they got some problems. We'll talk about that in the second part of the segment, but at 6:30, we'll take you to Westwood One's pregame coverage of the Redskins and Steelers, followed by the Rams, now in Los Angeles. Were in Los Angeles, went to St. Louis. Now they're back in Los Angeles, I think, and they're not the Raiders. They're just the Rams again. They will take on the San Francisco 49ers. That's game number two. So for you insomniacs and football junkies, you're loaded and ready to go. And we've got a busy week for you as well. Joe Smith Sports Talk tomorrow night. Spider Miller, the Walker Cup captain for the amateurs in 2017. Plus, field hockey, IU style with Amanda Janney. Reds on the radio Tuesday and Wednesday. NFL football, every Thursday night game. The Jets and Buffalo, AFC East matchup. Cougars, Patriots, high school football from Terre Haute on Friday night. Check your times here. Chalk Talk at 7 and 7:30 kickoff because a little bit further travel. I'll give them a little bit more time to get over there. NFL football doubleheader that will be on Sunday. College football doubleheader on Saturday. Alabama at Ole Miss, Ohio State and Oklahoma. Two of the six top games featuring top 25 teams. We got it all for you here. And then the Colts head out to Denver on Sunday, 3:30 pregame, followed by Green Bay and the brand new Viking Stadium. We'll get it'll look great on the radio. I'm telling you what.
Unbelievable.
So that's all we've got to do this week. But Terry, we start with the victory flag flying over the corner of 17th Street. The Indiana Hoosiers 2-0. Their defense has been markedly better than it has been, perhaps, in the last few years. The Hoosiers have now won what? They won their last two games of the regular season last year, two more to start this year. Nothing wrong with a little four-game winning streak. That's how they began last season as well. But Ball State coming to town had beaten Indiana. None of those kids really around from the 2012 team on either side. You got new coaches at Ball State, brand new coach. You've got Coach Wilson in his sixth year. But I think the game, the first three drives, was pretty simple. Indiana's defense made the two plays. The momentum got sucked completely out of the Ball State sideline. Indiana keeps making plays. Even had a little penalty action here, had a little unsteady quarterback play. But at the end of halfway through the third quarter, 10 minutes ago in the third quarter, it's 30-0, and away the Hoosiers sailed on to victory. What did you like most about that game on Saturday?
Well, just getting a win, for one.
Start there. I mean, that's not a joke.
That's number one.
You've got to beat Ball State. There's no other reason to schedule them besides to beat them.
That's right, and we haven't done that for three straight times, so that was good. Again, flashes of outstanding defensive play. It's no doubt we're athletic and faster on our defense. In the last couple years, you can see it. Even with the bad stats that we had last year, you could see it. If you're there and you're in the stands watching it, you
notice
it.
We were in a hurry. We were better looking. We weren't sure where we were going all the time.
And exactly.
We didn't make all the plays, but we were in position to be part of that. I agree with that 100%.
Yeah. And decent crowd, pretty close to 40,000 to get the game started. There was a lot of enthusiasm. I thought the crowd was great. And, we had a little shaky start here and there, but it's 20-0 at halftime. And really, Indiana totally outplayed Ball State. And then, as you alluded, 10 quick points in the third quarter, and that game's essentially – well, then IU put it into cruise mode and and Ball State wasn't playing that game.
No, they weren't, and that's fine. Everybody's working on something. Week two, everybody's trying to figure out some place somewhere where they are, but Ball State made it harder on themselves. They get to – block punts. You got another problem in the kicking game. Had a little problem in the kicking game in Florida with the holder and making some field goals in that game. This one, you get a block punt. He did stick four of his six punts inside the 20, though. I can't kill it for that. Can it get better? Of course it can. But what really stood out for me, and Ball State gave themselves problems. They don't go for two there. They're down three scores. I'm not sure what that's all about. But what stood out for me was Richard Lego was not asked to win the game, and Richard Lego committed no turnovers, didn't put the ball in multiple situations in bad places. He went about his business. The playbook didn't seem expansive, where it didn't overwhelm him or forced him to make perhaps some decisions or throws he didn't want to, and allowing him for the second week in a row really to get his feet set, his balance, his rhythm, working with the offensive line that, by the way, missed Dan Feeney for the last three quarters. He left with a concussion. For the second game in a row, they missed their returning receiver, Simi Cobbs, and it looks like he could possibly be out for the rest of the year. Coach Wilson mentioning something about ankle surgery in multiple interviews after the game. We'll have to wait and see. The Big Ten call is tomorrow, so we'll see what that brings, even though IU's on a bye week. So what jumped out at me was the running game was again steady. It wasn't spectacular. Devine Redding, five in a row now, over 100 yards. But Lego, you didn't see him chucking the ball all over the place. The very effective on the bubble screens, very effective on some crossing routes. The Timian touchdown had great time from the line there. Had all day to line up and throw it. The one deep ball he did throw, or the deep ball they threw accurately, would be the one to Westbrook, who made an outstanding catch with his hands. Oh, that was a super play on all of that. But you just saw him. You saw him get some feels in the pocket. You saw him on that fourth down play just kind of lose his balance, turn in the corner, missed it by a yard. It's not the end of the world on that. But you just didn't see him. Took a couple sacks in the third quarter. It's okay. Not a big deal. Indiana only gave up 13 sacks, I believe, as a team last year. But you just didn't feel like he was going to take a square peg and try to pound it into a round hole. That's pretty cool from a junior quarterback playing only his second game.
Well, and Glass also probably playing in front of the biggest crowd that maybe he's ever seen the field
I was gonna see
with.
That.
It's got to be close to that. And I heard Don Fisher say that this afternoon during an interview with someone, and I felt that was probably a good point. Good loud crowd to get started, and he's progressing nicely, and it's, you know, now we got another week to study, find a few mistakes, fix them, because at first when I thought Wake Forest might be a blowout here, they come out and beat Duke last weekend.
They are. They're 2-0 sitting there. And, again, trying to put their game together. But back to your point about the defense and having kids that can play, kids that are athletic, just passing the look test. Sometimes, just for a casual fan, Terry and I aren't going to sit here and tell you we sit and watch breakdown film all day long. We don't do that. But what you can tell, there were just two plays that just completely jumped out to me in that first half. Forget about Oliver. Every time there's a fumble, Oliver's involved.
Yes.
This is what it is. It's his eighth cause fumble, so he starts things off that way, setting the tone for his defense. Then Scales, your other linebacker, makes a play at the five-yard line. He punches the ball out. Guy's not going to hold on to it and be safe with it. Boom. Ball's out. Crawford gets both of them. Great awareness from your safety on that. But the two plays that jumped out at me were, number one, Riggins, the freshman cornerback, speed rush. He's lined up on the wide receiver. Ball snap, pew, beeline for the quarterback, untouched, smokes him. He got there in a hurry. He didn't try to fanny around. He put a shoulder pad in his back, lower back, and ran him over. Fantastic play, because number one, he had to get there. And it wasn't 10 yards away.
Right.
It was a good and he built up ahead of speed. And that looked like it hurt. And the second play, obviously, was Marcelino Ball. Deep. The ball's overthrown. It didn't look like it was going to anybody, and Ball makes a super play. And why is that a super play? Well, number one, he's 17 years of age. And number two, he's playing in his second college game. Same with Riggins. Riggins is playing in his second game. So two kids asked to make plays, go out and make them. Ball leads the team with eight solo tackles on the day. Of course, he had a couple hiccups. Everybody's going to have hiccups, especially freshmen. But when you get those guys to contribute and make plays, that's just an added layer. When your first-year guys, game two, are making big plays like that, one for a turnover and one for a big loss, that's a positive sign. We saw most young guys last year getting burned in the secondary,
right,
or missing tackles or not being taking the proper angles. I'm not saying Indiana's defense is fixed. I'm agreeing with you in the sense that they have better football players. They have better physicality. They have better speed. And when you put all that together, you can make plays like that. And that takes a lot of pressure off plenty of things what you're trying to do. So that's exciting from the Hoosier standpoint. Indiana, again, wins without their leading wide receiver, who could be done for a while. Plus, Dan Feeding leaves the game concussed. The defense for what? 2.5, 3 quarters does everything
you can
ask for.
Yeah, 3 quarters, perfect.
And what, 13 points against Florida International, and then 13 points against Ball State. We're not going to blame the defense for a blocked punt.
Yeah.
You'd like to clean that up. Obviously, Coach Wilson's not real pleased with that. You had a silly penalty on the first drive from your fifth-year senior right tackle, 15 yards after the whistle. That doesn't help. You've got on a punt return, guy blocks the guy in the back, takes Mitchell Page's 15, 20-yard return, moves it back. So it wasn't perfect. It didn't need to be against Ball State. It will need to be better against Wake Forest. Good news, Terry. You get a week off. You're at home as well. And then after that, well.
Well, then the
well,
the gauntlet begins.
Then the clover gets a little bit deeper. Then it's Ohio State, Michigan State, somewhere in that order. Then the Big Ten East comes to life and things get real. But 1-0, the victory flag is flying. 1-0 at home. 2-0 on the season. The victory flag is up and flying on this gorgeous Monday. And that's good news for Indiana football fans. There's nothing wrong with enjoying it right now. I don't think you saw anything this week that you would say, oh, there's the defining moment of this season. We talked about that last year. If you're having your defining moment in the first 3 or 4 games, then you're not having a season. Indiana's defining moment last year was winning the Old Oaken Bucket in West Lafayette with out Jordan Howard in a must-win game to go to a bowl game. I don't care how bad Purdue was. Indiana football has happened way too many times in our lifetime to know that's not a guaranteed anything. So, again, off to the proper start. You've got people contributing. You've done it without your full complement. You still haven't put all those players together, and it looks like you might not with Cobbs being out. Again, that's another hurdle that Lego has to get over. Nick Westbrook helped him out. Mitchell Page helped him out.
Deep receiving cores, depth there, depth on the O-line, and Feeney's concussed, hopefully a 2-week wait, he'll be back.
He'll be evaluating everybody, he'll handle all that medically for Indiana. We hope to get an update from Coach Wilson's Big Ten media press conference tomorrow. Week one, you lose Jordan Fuchs, dislocated ankle, tight end is out. Week two, Semi Cobbs walks off in a boot, Coach Wilson's talking about surgery just like he was for Fuchs. Hey, a couple years ago, 5 years ago, 8 years ago, you'd say this team's in real trouble. Indiana has shown they have put a program together. It's not where they want it to be. It's not where the fans want it to be. But there is talent and there is depth, two things you must have to compete at such a level as the Big Ten East. And that's where it's going to get real. But all the momentum and all the extra snaps and everything else before that part of the season, nothing to do but get this side better. The Colts, on the other hand, do we have another hand for the Colts? Oh, boy.
Yeah.
The boys in blue, the horseshoes, no luck yesterday. More injuries following the secondary. More uninspired play, digging themselves a large hole. But in 12, we trust. And it just shows you what you missed last year with him being out. He almost saved the day. He doesn't play defense. We'll talk about the Colts and their loss to Detroit when we come back. That is a bold-faced lie. It's Glass and Terry on a Monday night. A short one. Heck, we're out of here in 6.5 minutes as we take you to Westwood One's coverage of Monday Night Football. The big doubleheader opening week. Pittsburgh and Washington gets things started at 6:30, followed by the Rams of Los Angeles. That's going to get weird to say again.
Yeah.
And the San Francisco 49ers. But our NFL-ing goes up I-69, well, eventually, 37.
Yeah, when you can get there.
Yeah, when you can get there. And if you found your way to Lucas Oil Stadium yesterday, it was absolutely perfect out. Lovely rendition of the national anthem by an Indianapolis police officer. And that was it for a couple hours because the Colts stunk up the joint to the final drive of the first half. Andrew Luck finally got the team off the mark after struggling with trying to balance a run, trying to balance a pass protection, trying to. Well, what they forgot to do and all that was stop Detroit. We thought the defense would have a problem, Terry. Entering the season, they had plenty of injuries. To be fair, they weren't very good last year. I believe they were 26 to 32 in the league last year and didn't make wholesale changes to quote-unquote improve it anywhere in the offseason besides the draft. And when young kids, what are you going to do? They're young kids until they're not young kids anymore. The Colts miraculously rally in the fourth quarter because of what? The defense making plays? No. I'll give them credit. They got more pressure on the quarterback. They stopped Detroit at times from driving the football. But there was only one guy that made this happen on Sunday, and you saw how invaluable he was missing last year.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I mean, let's single-handedly got us from behind to back and into the lead. A few stops here and there by the defense. But, I'm just about tired of trying to establish a running game with an offensive line that's not very good and a running back that's 33 years old and runs like he's 43.
I can't argue that.
Just go no huddle. Let's get off to the good
starts. What was their best drive of the half? What was the best drive of the first half?
Well, the end of the half.
The two-minute drill.
The two-minute drill.
And right then, down the field. Boom, boom, right. Boom, boom, boom.
And the same thing as we were going for the go-ahead score and the score before that, as we're trying to get ourselves back in the game. You know, start that way, and then if you can get the lead like Mr. Manning used to get, then let's run the ball a little bit and see what happens.
That's exactly right. And then your defense can be a little bit more they can cheat to the positive
opportunistic.
Side. There you go. Opportunistic is the right word. But what did you learn from Robert Mathis yesterday? Come on. You saw the great replay. There's Stafford getting to throw it. Here comes 34-year-old Mathis, and guess what
happens? He was short.
He didn't get there.
Didn't get there.
Trent Cole, Walden's nice.
Eric Walden didn't play a bad game.
He didn't.
Actually.
He was it. He stuck out like the sore thumb, but the linebacking core.
And Cromartie made two outstanding plays and should have had an interception. So but he didn't get it.
And then
he ran the route better than a receiver
that's
did.
That's right. Well, then he got twisted around on the last drive and gives up a 18-yard gain on that. I don't know how much Cromartie had worked out or been in training camp before any of this, so
not
I'll
much.
Give him a little bit of a break. But DeQuell Jackson, C.O. Moore, who's making tackles? Where are all the tackles being made? They lose more guys. They lose Guy. They lose – and you keep checking the names off of guys that keep getting hurt. And the tough part with the Colts is you can't let a team go 50 yards in 30 seconds. That's just – if you're going to play prevent something, what are you preventing? And that wasn't the case because, number one, they can't get to the quarterback, so he's got all day to throw. Stafford ends up 31-39. I mean, come on,
that's
31-39. That's 7-on-7.
Yeah, well, I mean, he was only pressured a couple of times.
Well, that's all it is. But the Colts, they will have to get better. They will have to improve. They fall 39-34, and it's a frustrating 39-35.
Yeah.
Now, look at it this way. There's a quick little math lesson here. I don't even know where we are in time. We got to get out of here. Kicker, make your extra point. Colts score in the end there. 30 seconds left. They're probably not going down the field. They had to go down the field down one. So if he makes his extra point, he doesn't have to beat you for 43-yarder. Colts get the ball first in overtime. Ifs and buts or candies nuts. I got all that. The Colts offense is their best defense. They cannot do it this way and expect to come back from 18 points down all season long. Can they? I don't think that can happen at all. Terry, good stuff as always, my man. We need to jump on out of here and get to Westwood 1. That was about as easy as it gets, wasn't it?
I'll take it anytime.
All right.
Glad to do it for you.
Thanks, buddy. When Dave and I will be back on Wednesday with more in-depth recaps on all that. You've been in the zone.